What are you afraid of? What frightens you? As I ask that question, you could perhaps, some of you at least, immediately begin a long list of things that make you fearful. Perhaps you're afraid of going alone out at night. Perhaps you're afraid of dying. Perhaps you're afraid of losing a loved one. Perhaps you're just afraid of the future because you don't know what it holds. And then perhaps some of you might say, and probably you would be men, I'm not afraid of anything. Well, if you're in the first group of people and you know your fears, you might be very glad to know this morning that we're going to be looking at the subject of hope in our fears. Hope in our fears. We'll be finding out how our fears can be conquered. We'll be finding out how we can look darkness and death and the future in the eye without being afraid. But if you're in the second group of people who say, well, I'm not afraid of anything, you might think that this sermon is not for you. You may feel that you're not timid or anxious or fearful. But even if it's true that you're not afraid of anything, which perhaps I doubt, even if that is true, it's only partially true. It would perhaps be more honest to say, I'm not afraid of anything at the moment. But if you were to find yourself, I don't know, trapped on a ledge without help, with a 200-foot drop below you and your mobile phone already fallen down the drop, you will probably feel fear, just like the rest of us. If a policeman knocks on your door and suggests that you sit down before he tells you his news, you will probably feel that pang of fear. If the phone rings at 3 a.m, you too might be afraid to pick it up. Because fear is part of all of our experiences. It's a natural human response to danger, to possible loss, to the unknown. All our biblical heroes experienced fear. Peter was fearful on many occasions. He was fearful of drowning when he met Jesus on the Sea of Galilee. He was fearful of Jewish Christians, and what some Jewish Christians might say. Galatians chapter 2. Paul was afraid, he tells us, when he preached to the Corinthians. Nehemiah was afraid when he spoke to the king. David was often afraid, according to Psalm 56. The good news is that God does not want us to be fearful. The words "do not be afraid" or something similar occur about 175 times in the Bible and nearly always spoken by God or someone on behalf of God, like an angel. So this morning, we're going to be answering 4 questions together. First, and very quickly, we're going to be answering the questions, what do we fear and why do we fear? And then, in just a few minutes' time, we'll get to the heart of our study. 2 more questions. Why do we not need to fear? And how can our fears be conquered? Those are the 4 questions we're going to be answering from God's word this morning. So the first question then, what do we fear? What do we fear? Well, if we were to go out and perhaps do a survey here in clinic and ask people on the street what they were afraid of, we'd probably get a wide range of different answers, wouldn't we? Some people might say that they're afraid of spiders. Other people would say they're afraid of heights. Yet more might say they're afraid of the dark. But actually, that's quite a superficial list. We understand what people mean when they say that they're afraid of those things. But those are not their deepest fears. Our deepest fears are not the ones we smile about. Our deepest fears are not the ones we ruefully admit to an anonymous questioner. Our deepest fears are those we dare not voice. Our deepest fears are those we dare not even think about. As I was preparing for this morning's message, one book I read suggested this list of common fears. They're fears we rarely speak of. Fears, perhaps, we're afraid to voice. Fears for your safety and the safety of those you love. Fears about how you will die. Will it be a progressive, debilitating disease? Will it be cancer? Alzheimer's? Will you die alone? Will you die penniless? Fears may be about what happens after death. Not just spiritually, maybe, but some perhaps might fear that after death they'll be forgotten or maligned, or they'll just cease to exist. Some people are feared about living a meaningless life. Some people are fear about being unloved or alone. Some people are frightened about being in love and then being hurt. Others fear what they might lose. Maybe simple things, their figure, their youth, their hair, their boyfriend or girlfriend. Perhaps more serious things, you might fear losing your money, your job, your spouse, your health, your purpose, maybe even your faith. In other words, what most of us fear, perhaps secretly, is loss or failure or evil or simply the unknown. Nearly all your rational fears, and perhaps even some of your irrational fears, boil down to one of those four things: loss, failure, evil, or the unknown. But let's try to dig deeper. We've beginning to think about what we fear. And perhaps you came into church this morning encouraged and happy, and I'm already beginning to make you feel miserable and afraid. Let's lead to a second question. Why do we fear? Why do we get afraid? And when we think about loss and failure and evil are the unknown, we need to ask, well, what do those things have in common? And as we think about the answer to that question, we'll understand why we fear those things. So what do loss and failure and evil and the unknown have in common? Well, if you were here last week and you remember last Sunday morning's sermon, you might have a little bit of a head start here. Because what loss and failure and evil all have in common is that they're characteristic of living in a fallen world. As we were looking at last week, this world is fallen. And by that, the Bible means this world is tainted by sin. And in such a world, there will always be loss. In such a world, there will always be failure. In such a world, in a fallen world, there will always be evil. That's the nature of the world we live in. So many of our fears, then, are perfectly rational, you might say. They are an appropriate response to living in a fallen world. We ought to be afraid of failure because we will fail. And our failure could have terrible consequences, couldn't it? We ought to be afraid of loss because we live in a world where moth and rust decay and thieves do break in and steal. We ought to be afraid of evil because wickedness pervades society and our own hearts. Fear, you see, is part of living in a fallen world. But what about fear of the unknown? The unknown is not part of our fallenness, is it? The unknown is part of our humanity. There has always and will always be the unknown. Right back in the Garden of Eden, before Adam and Eve fell, there was still the unknown. And when Jesus Christ returns from heaven and creates the perfect new heaven and new earth, the unknown will still exist, at least to us. To not know is to be human, because the only one who truly knows everything is God. So at the heart of our fears then are two things: our fallenness and our humanness. That's why we're afraid. That's why we fear, because we're fallen and because we are human. And all of that leads to our third question, and now we're starting to get to the heart of our discussion this morning and what the Bible says to us. Our third question is this: why do we not need to fear? Why do we not need to fear? We've already answered the question, why do we fear? And we've answered it by saying we fear because we're fallen and because we're human. But the Bible says frequently, again and again and again, do not be afraid. So the biblical perspective is, despite the fact that we are fallen, and despite the fact that we are human, we need not fear. That's the biblical message. So why does the Bible say that? Why does the Bible say that we need not fear and even that we ought not fear? Well, we can answer that question in one simple sentence. Why do we not need to fear? One simple sentence. Last week we were looking at the subject of suffering. Why do we suffer? And we answered that question with one simple sentence. Last time we answered the question by saying we suffer because we are fallen creatures living in a fallen world. And if we can answer, if we can remember that, then that will help us to have perspective every time we suffer and see suffering in others. And today, as we think about our fears and we ask ourselves, why do we not need to be afraid? Why do we not need to fear? Again, there is one simple answer to that question. The answer is this: we do not need to fear because God is good and God is in control. We do not need to fear because God is good and God is in control. And if we can hold on to that vital truth, then that will help us every time something frightening happens or when we're concerned about the unknown future. But both of those truths are important, you see. Both of those truths, that God is good and that God is in control, we need both of those truths. And if we're holding on to both of those truths, then Christians ought to be the most fearless people on the planet. So how do those truths help us? How does it help us to know that God is good and God is in control? Well, think about our fear of loss. We might fear losing our jobs. We might fear losing our reputation. We might fear losing our loved ones. We might fear losing our health. Those are all, in one sense, valid fears. But the Apostle Paul was able to say, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Paul, you see, was not afraid of loss because he learned that God was good and God was in control. And he knew that because God was good, then what God had given him was better than what God had taken away. And what God has promised him was better than all the things that he might be afraid of losing. And he knew that because God was in control, then God wouldn't fail to keep those promises. That God would ensure that any loss was more than outweighed by gain. In other words, you see, if God is good and God is in control, then we do not need to fear loss, because anything we lose is as nothing compared to what God is giving us in Jesus Christ. So we need not fear loss. Or think about our fear of failure. We might fear that we'll fail perhaps to be able to hold our job down. Perhaps we think we might fail to keep our family together. Perhaps we might think to persevere in the Christian life. Well, you might well fail to hold your job down. So might I. We might both fail to keep our family together. But if God is in control, then our failures are part of his sovereign plan. And if God is good and in control, well, then we might adapt Romans 8, which we read together earlier, to say something like this: what shall separate us from the love of God, from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or disappointment, or bankruptcy, or disaster, or failure? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In all things God works for the good of those who love him. In other words, you see, if God is good and God is in control, then although we might fail, we can be confident that God works even our failures for our good and for the good of others who love God. And if you've truly grasped that, if you've truly grasped that we can be confident that God works even our failures for our good, then in a sense it's almost impossible to fail. It's an incredible load off your back. One significant
fewer thing to worry about.
Or think about our fear of evil. Maybe you fear walking alone at night. Maybe you fear the dark. Maybe you even fear a specific person or people who've treated you terribly and done what is wrong. Maybe you fear the devil himself. And at one level, of course, we're right to fear these things. We're probably weaker than any potential attacker who might come. We might feel unable to respond to the threats of evil people. We know how susceptible we can be to the devil's attacks. At one level, we're right to fear. But at the same time, if we remember that God is good, if we remember that God is in control, then we will be able to say with the Apostle Paul that I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Whatever the power of evil, it cannot defeat a good God who is in control. And what about our fear of the unknown? Well, we can say exactly the same. There will always be the unknown to us because we're human. We cannot know everything, and even if we did know everything, it would only give us more to worry about, not less. But if God is good, and God is in control, then what is unknown to us is known to Him. He knows the end from the beginning, he says through Isaiah. My purpose will stand, God says. Now, if it were Hitler, or Stalin, or Pol Pot, or Kim Jong-un was saying that, then that would be utterly terrifying, wouldn't it? My purpose will stand, if they were to say that. To have someone evil in control would be all your nightmares coming together at once. But the God who is in control is the God who is good. And that's why we need not fear, even though there is an unknown. Psychologists will tell us that we can conquer our fears by staying positive, by managing stress, by being brave. I googled conquering fear. The fourth result that came up on Google was a website with nearly 3 million likes on Facebook, obviously a very popular site. Their advice to conquer your fear? Walk through the fear, you warrior. You hold the key. And finally, practice loving you. Now, it sounds empowering. The page was full of comments about what wonderful, helpful advice it was that empowered these people. But that advice is soul-destroying. It's soul-destroying because it makes fear all about me and conquering fear all about me, all about you. And you see, if the answer to all of my problems is me, then I am utterly sunk. And if the answer to all your problems is you, you are lost. You are finished. Positive thinking might possibly help you to lose weight or get fit or something relatively trivial like that. But it won't help you face cancer. It won't help you in the loss of a loved one. You see, what the Bible says is far more empowering than what the world says. God doesn't say, you hold the key. He says, I hold the key. He doesn't say, you are a warrior. He says, I am the victor. He doesn't say, practice loving you. He says, I love you. And that's why we need not fear. We need not fear because it's not about us. It's about Him. And that leaves us with one last question together. The final question. How can our fears be conquered? Because it's all very well reminding one another of the truth that God is good and God is in control. But as you came to church this morning, you already knew that, didn't you? You already knew that God was good and God was in control. And yet, for some of you, despite that knowledge, you brought your fears into church with you. And others maybe, despite that knowledge, you will be fearful in the future. So we need to know And we need to know together, how can our fears be conquered? Knowing the truth is not enough, because we know the truth and we are still fearful. So how can our fears be conquered? Well, as I was preparing for this message, I asked myself a question. And you might not necessarily see the relevance of the question that I'm about to ask with the question that we've just posed, but bear with me. The question I asked myself was this: was Jesus ever fearful? Was Jesus ever fearful? And as I thought about that question, my thoughts immediately went to the Garden of Gethsemane. If there was ever a time when Jesus was afraid, this would be it. And I remembered, a little vaguely perhaps initially, something of the descriptions that we were given of Jesus in the garden. The fact that he sweat blood. But as I looked at those passages more closely, I realized that in them, despite the enormity of what Jesus is facing, there is no hint that he is afraid. He is sorrowful, certainly. He's troubled. He's overwhelmed with sorrow, we're told. He's distressed and anguished. We might even say he is horrified because of the horror to come. But he does not appear to be afraid. The text never suggests, remotely even, that he is afraid. So here is a man who is anticipating the very worst experience that any human being has ever and will ever face. I'm not simply talking about the crucifixion now, of course. I'm talking about the pouring out of God's wrath for sin. And Jesus faces that. And Jesus anticipates it. And Jesus, if I can put it like this, looks into the abyss, almost literally, and he is not afraid. And the only possible explanation for Jesus' lack of fear is that he trusted absolutely that God was good and that God was in control. He knew his heavenly Father better than anyone else. He knew of his Father's power and his Father's goodness. And by divine power, Jesus was utterly, completely, wholly confident in the fact that God was good and God was in control. And whatever was ahead of Jesus, he knew that as he lovingly carried out God's purposes, God his Father would bring nothing but good from his obedience and sacrifice. He knew it, and he believed it. Now, the tempting lesson, therefore, from the life and the ministry of Jesus is that you and I need to be more like Jesus. Jesus trusted his Father, and you need to trust your Father. And because Jesus trusted his Father absolutely, he did not fear. And if you trust your Heavenly Father absolutely, then you will not fear. That's the tempting lesson to draw from this story. And at one level, of course, it's true. We do need to be more like Jesus. And if we were more like Jesus, then we would be far less fearful. That's true. But if that's all we say, then we're no better than the secularists and the spiritualists. Because if my only message to you is that you need to be more like Christ, then just like the world, I'm telling you that you hold the key to your fearlessness. And you don't hold the key. And therefore my message is not simply be more like Christ. And the Bible's message is not simply be more like Christ. The Bible's message is far more positive than that. Think of what God said to Joshua as he took over the leadership of God's people in Joshua chapter 1. Be strong and courageous, God says. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. A few verses later, God repeats the same message. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And then comes the reason. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Do you see the point? We gain courage, we conquer our fears, not simply by trying to be more like Jesus. We gain courage and conquer our fears because God is with us. We gain courage and conquer our fears not just by knowing that God is with us, important though that is, We gain courage and conquer our fears not just by believing that God is with us, important though that is. We gain courage and conquer in our fears not just by trusting that God is with us, but we gain courage and conquer our fears because God is with us and he works his power in us. And he will accomplish in Joshua, you see, what Joshua cannot achieve himself. God is good and God is in control. But we can say more even than that. Our fears will be conquered not just because God is with us, but our fears can also be conquered because Christ has taken on himself all of the things that we ought to be afraid of. Do you remember the four things that we said that we're often afraid of? The fear of loss, the fear of failure, the fear of evil, the fear of the unknown. So think about Christ's work on the cross. On that cross, in his humanity, Christ lost his majesty, his dignity, his glory, and his riches. He even lost, and this is a mystery, he even lost his perfect relationship with his Father as God's wrath was poured out on the Son that he loved, and Jesus was utterly forsaken. Jesus, you see, bore our loss. Not only so, but he bore our failures. Had we not failed, there would be no need for Christ to suffer. Christ died because every one of us has failed to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. He died because we've all broken promises. He died because we've all fallen short. He died because we've all failed to be the people that God made us to be. But he bore our failure. And there's more. Not only did he bear our loss and bear our failures, but he bore the weight of evil. The glory of the message of the gospel is that Jesus Christ died, and as he died, he took the sins of the world on himself. Paul goes as far as to say, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. A modern hymn puts it like this, every bitter thought, every evil deed crowning your bloodstained brow, this the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath. We stand forgiven at the cross. He bore our loss. He bore our failures. He bore our evil deeds. And finally, Jesus took away the unknown. You see, humanity's greatest fear, whether we admit it or not, our greatest fear is the fear of death itself. And we are fearful about death because death is certain for every one of us. We know it. And yet we also know that nobody knows what death is really like. That nobody really knows what's on the other side. That nobody can reassure us through their own experience that it will be okay. No one, that is, apart from Jesus. Because at the cross, Jesus Christ experienced death. And at his resurrection, he conquered death. So death is no longer an unknown quantity for the Christian. Death has been defeated. The great unknown is known. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the final proof, if we needed it, of the fact that God is good and God is in control. In it, in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, loss and failure and evil and the unknown are all defeated. And here's the critical point. Why do we not need to fear? We don't need to fear because in Christ, there is nothing to fear. In Christ, there is nothing to fear. Do you believe that? It's what the Bible teaches. So how can our fears be conquered? Everything that we fear has already been conquered in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now we are still fallen creatures and we are still living in a fallen world. So we will never eliminate fear altogether, not in this life. But you see, for the Christian, all of our fears are irrational fears. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Every Christian, you see, has the peace of Jesus. The peace that Jesus has with his Father, we have that peace. The peace that Jesus won on the cross, we have that peace. We have it. It's already been given to every believer. And the more we know of Christ, the more we will remember that God is good and God is in control. The closer we are to Christ, the more work God does in our souls. That's what the Holy Spirit brings. So let's stop simply striving to convince ourselves that we have nothing to fear. But instead, let God work in us the victory that Christ has won.